children.
But how much money would turn it?
You will expect your 7% as usual.
The man must live.
The Money Talk season on BBC Radio 3 continues with Ian McKellen.
If when you say you're just as bad as I am, you mean that you are just as powerless to alter the state of society, then you are unfortunately quite right.
Charles Dance, Tim Pigott-Smith.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes, sir, and we'd all like to have the tree growing in our garden.
And Honeysuckle Weeks in George Bernard Shaw's first full-length play. Widowers' Houses, a brand new Drama on Three production for our Money Talk season. Tonight at 8 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Back to this lunchtime. It's just after 1 o'clock. Time for a summary of the news from Vaughan Savage.
Labour has called on the government to say whether it's been straight with the country over the number of people expected to be made homeless by planned changes to benefits. It's emerged that David Cameron was warned by a senior civil servant in January that a planned weekly cap on benefits would create an extra 20,000 homeless families, on top of an original figure of 20,000 families likely to be affected by other benefit changes. The UN's humanitarian affairs chief, Lady Amos, has called for urgent action to tackle the malnourishment caused by the severe drought in the Horn of Africa. The region has less water than at any time since 1951, and aid agencies say 10 million people in Djibouti, Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia and Uganda are affected. Syrian tanks have been deployed at roads leading into the city of Hama, where tens of thousands of people staged the largest anti-government demonstration since the unrest began in March. Human rights groups say the authorities are also arresting dozens of people around the city. Exit polls in Thailand suggest that a party run by the younger sister of the exiled former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra has comfortably won the country's general election. Thailand has been plagued by political unrest since Thaksin was overthrown in a military coup 5 years ago. The chairman of the BBC Trust, Lord Paton, has signalled that there'll be further cuts in the pay of senior executives at the corporation. He said management pay was one of the most toxic reasons for the public's lack of sympathy with the BBC. A two-year-old girl in China survived a fall from a window 10 stories up when a passerby managed to catch her before she hit the pavement. Chinese state media said the girl, who'd been left unattended at a flat in the city of Hangzhou, was in a critical condition with internal injuries. The weather, it'll be a warm and sunny afternoon across the United Kingdom, although it will remain cloudy in parts of Northern Ireland and northwest Scotland. Tonight, there will be clear spells in most places with light winds. The BBC News and Weather at 3 minutes past one.
And that was Vaughan Savage. In an hour from now, we have a concert given by the BBC Concert Orchestra at the Queen Elizabeth Hall as part of the Electronica 3 Festival. You can hear music by Edward Williams, Andrew Poppy, Patrick Nunn, and, because the concert is hosted by Jarvis Cocker, music by Pulp, all at 2 o'clock in our Sunday concert this week. But first, it's time to join Catherine Bott for the second of this weekend's travel-themed early music shows.
Schwer gestarrt mit Elend.
langen Winkel heiß und kalt hab ich gebaut bei Christen, Griechen, Heiden. Drehten ich in dem Beutel und ein Stücklin Brot, das was von Heimwenzerung da ich noch in Not. Von fremden Freunden, so hab ich manchen Tropfen rot gelassen seither, dass ich wand erscheine. Ich lauf zu Fuß mit schwerer Bus, bis das mir starb mein Vater zwar. Wohl 14 Jahre die Rosser waren, von eines Raubs tal ich allzumal mit Farben fahr. Und desgleich schied ich davon mit Leide. Zwar Renner, Koch, so was ich doch, und Marstalle, auch an dem Ruder zog ich zu mir, das was wär. In Kania und anderswo auch wieder her. Viel manchen Titel, was mein bestes Kleide. Gehen Preußen, Litland, Altreich, Türkei über Meer. Gehen Lombard, Frankreich, Spanien mit zwei Königs her. Treib mich die Min auf meines eigen Geldes wehr. Ruprecht, Siegmund, weit mit des Adlers Streifen. Französisch, Mörisch, Katholisch und Kastilian, Deutsch, Latein, Finnisch, Lampertisch, Reuschisch und Roman. Die 10 Sprachen hab ich gebraucht, wenn mir zerrah, auch konnt ich vielen Trommen, Pauken, Pfeifen. Ich hab umfahren Insel und Arm, manig Land auf Schäfen groß, der ich genoss von Sturmes Bahn, des Hoch- und Niedermeeres geliehen fast berannt. Die schwarzen See lehrt mich ein Fass begreifen. Da mir zerbrach mit Ungemach mein Wargetin, ein Kaufmann was ich, doch genass ich und komm hin. Ich und ein Reuß in dem Gestreuß Hauptgut gewinn, das sucht dem Grund und zwar mich zu dem Reifen. Angelebt wohl 40 Jahre Licht meine zwei, mit Toben, Würten, Lichten, Singen, Mangelein. Es wär wohl Zeit, dass ich mein eigenes Kind geschreien hört in einer Wiegen Gelle. Kann ich der vergessen nimmer ewig leben, die mir hat geben und auf dieser Märte recht. In aller Welt konnt ich nicht finden ihren gleich. Auch fürcht ich sehr ähnlicher Weibe Bellen. In Urteilrat viel weißer hat geschätzt mich, dem ich gefallen hat mit Schaden niederlich. Ich, Wolkenstein, leb sicher klein, vernünftiglich, dass ich der Welt allzu lang beginn zu hellen. Und wohl bekenn, ich weiß nicht, wenn ich sterben, dass mir nicht schöner folgt, wann meine Werke soll. Hätt ich dann Gott zu sein Gebot gedient voll. So furcht ich klein dort heiß. Ser flamme velle.
It happened when I was 10 years old that I wanted to see what the world was like. With pain and poverty in various places, hot and cold, I have lived with Christians, Greeks and pagans. With only 3 pennies in my pocket and a stick of bread, my journey was away from my home. David Fallis and the Toronto Consort, with an autobiographical song by Oswald von Wolkenstein, which recounts his many travels and adventures, from Lithuania to Italy, from Iberia to the Black Sea. Composers have always travelled, and the musical results are ours to enjoy today. But back in early music times, not everyone trotted the globe or discovered what wasn't then called world music. I don't believe Henry Purcell, for example, ever moved out of Westminster. Courts and chapels moved about and armies waged war, taking musicians with them. But people didn't travel like we do nowadays. He is a tourist, you are a holidaymaker, I am a traveller. And my thanks to Fry and Laurie for that great truth. In fact, before the steam train, the jet engine and the gap year, hardly anyone ever went anywhere without being in mortal fear of never getting back home in one piece. So in today's programme, we're celebrating those early musical travel pioneers. Let's stay with one of the most indefatigable of them, poet, composer and diplomat, he tells us, Oswald von Wolkenstein. He was born in 1376, second son in a rather dysfunctional knightly family in the southern Tyrol, and spent much of his early life as a mercenary soldier, evolving into a multilingual adventurer before eventually settling down to life as a father of 7 and full-time henpecked husband. How do we know all about the languages he learnt and the places he went? Because he tells us in his songs, the blogs of the early 15th century. This next song is a catalogue of place names.
Araria, push Hermani in Persia, push Tatari in Suria, push Romani in Furia, Hibernia, es sprung han ich vergessen. Push Preußen, Preußen, Eifenland, gen Mittoliffen, Hübenstrand, gen Penmark, Schweden in Brabant, durch Landland, Frankreich, Engeland, und Schottenland hab ich lang nicht gemessen. Aragon, Kastilien, Granaten und Affären, aus Portugal, Italien, bis kennen finster Sternen, von Provence gen Marsilien, in Rase vor Salerne, da selbst beleid mich an der Reh, mein Elend war zum Lehren, fast umgehren. Auf einem runden Kofeld schmal, mit dickem Wald umfangen, hoher Berg und tiefe Tal, Stein, Stauden, Stöck, Schnee, Stangen, der sich ich täglich ohne Zahl, noch eines tut mich bangen, dass mir der kleinen Kindlingsschal mein Ohren dick begrangen, Hand durchgangen. Wie viel mir Ehren je besagt, von Fürsten, Königin gefragt, und was ich Freuden je gesagt, das büß ich an unter einer Nacht, mein Ungemach, das hat ein langes Ende. Viel guter Witz, der ging mir Not, seit ich muss sorgen um das Brot, dazu so wird mir viel gedroht, und tröst mich nie ein Mündling, bin ich je Wort, die lassen mich gewende. So hindert mich köstlicher Ziere Sinder, wenn ich im Flag dafür ist, neun Helmer Geistbegründer, und kurz vor neun schwarz esse ich, fast rüst ich gen dem Binder, die geben nur teils Sackwein mich, vor Angst lach ich mein Kinder auf ihn hin.
dazu gebraust, zwar die Wögen zu schelten, gäb sie mir eines mit der Faust, es müsst ich sehr enthelten. Sie spricht, wie hast du nur erzaust, die Kind zu einem Zelten? Hab ihrem Zorn mir da graust, doch mangel ich sein Selten, schwach mit Schnellten. Mein Kurzweil ist mangerlei, Neuleselgesang und Frauengeschrei, es wünscht ich nicht mehr um mein Ei, fast rauscht der Bach neun Uhr allein, mein Haupt entzweit, dass es beginnt zu krachen. Also trag ich meine eigen Schwert, täglicher Sorg, viel böser mehr, wird Hauenstein gar selten leer, möcht ich's gewenden an Gewehr, oder wer das wär, dem wollt ich immer danken. Landesfürst, er ist mir grab, von böser Leuten neide, mein Dienst, die sein ihm wieder zahm, das ist mir Schad und Leide, wie wohl mir Sus kein Fürst nicht stamm, bei meinem guten Heide, wie hat geschlecht, bleibt er wohl nah, in seinem Fürsten beide, köstlich meide. Mein Freund, die hassen mich überein, und Schuld, des muss ich greisen, das klag ich aller Welt gemein, den Frommen und den Weisen. Dazu viel hohen Fürsten rein, die sich hierher anreisen, dass sie mich armen Wolkenstein, die Wolf nicht Lahner zeißen, gar verweisen.
Andreas Scholl demonstrating his baritone range with the ensemble Shield of Harmony in the late medieval version of I've Been Everywhere, Man by Oswald von Wolkenstein. One of Oswald's near contemporaries, whose extensive European travels were propelled by his talent and fame, was Guillaume Dufay. He never felt the need to write a song about it all, but here's his long life in an almost pan-European list. He was born near Brussels in 1397, moving in childhood to Cambrai, then to Germany, back to Cambrai until he was 23. Then he worked almost continuously in Italy for 20 years, and of course Italy in his lifetime was a number of fierce rival kingdoms, so his working in Rimini, Pesaro, Bologna, Rome, Florence and Ferrara was a big deal. Cambrai was his chosen home, and he spent his last 10 years there, but he also worked extensively in Savoy, a kingdom between Italy and France, and had close ties with the court of Burgundy. As I said, he didn't write lots of boastful songs. Well, he stayed years at a time in all these places, so he was never nomadic. But he did write one rather touching number in 1426, when he was leaving the gourmet delights of France and heading for Italy. Farewell, those good wines of the Leonois. I depart, weighed down by my load of walnuts, for I cannot find beans or peas.
Time and way.
The Orlando consort singing Dufay's Adieu, ces bons vins, with sympathy for his plight. What was land transport like in the time of Oswald von Wolkenstein and Guillaume Dufay? Here are some key words for you to think about in descending order of personal wealth relevance. Carriage, cart, horse, donkey, Shanks's pony. This is the Early Music Show, not the Early Modes of Transport Show, so I'm not pretending to be much of an authority here. You can fill in the blanks. And just think of the state of the roads, if you can call them roads, and weather, and the lack of lighting, and war zones, and brigands. How would Dufay have travelled from Florence to Cambrai, for example? If he'd walked, the distance is over 800 miles, and a modern website estimate using today's roads, without any rest stops, gives us 250 hours walking time, nearly 11 days and nights. Oh, I forgot to mention mountains. Both Oswald and Dufay must have been masters of alpine terrain. I once saw a rather creative depiction of an elephant in a Tyrolean cloister, but it was a long time since Hannibal. Actually, there is an elephant in the room regarding the other Dufay piece in today's programme. Then, as now, far away international crises made their mark closer to home. In April 1453, the city of Constantinople fell to the Ottoman Turks. And in February 1454, Dufay, writing from Geneva to Piero and Giovanni de' Medici in Florence, mentions that he's written a motet lamenting this overthrow. This is where the pachyderm comes in. One chronicle has it that when Philip the Good of Burgundy hosted the Feast of the Pheasant in Lille in 1454, during the banquet an actor in female clothes rode in on an elephant and recited a complaint and a lamentation, which may have been Dufay's motet.
Oh,
Dufay's Motet Lamenting the Fall of Constantinople, performed by the Early Music Consort of London, directed by David Munro. And so we say farewell to the late medieval age and head for the modern transport hubs that became more prevalent in the Renaissance and Baroque periods. Coach travel was still a bumpy old ride, but during the late 17th century, regular routes between Italy and Germany began to take shape. One composer who took advantage of these developments was Gottfried Heinrich Stölzel, Kapellmeister of Gotha, who went on an 18-month tour of Italy in 1713 with the aim of meeting all the leading musicians of the age and to go where anything was to be heard. His journey took him by way of Florence, where he stayed at court and contributed cantatas and a duet to a gala concert, but refused all invitations to stay on religious grounds. And moving on, his Italian mission was successful. He met Bononcini and Domenico Scarlatti in Rome, and in Venice, Vivaldi, Marcello, Gasparini, and his fellow countryman, Johann David Heinichen. On his way back, he passed through Bologna, Venice, and Trieste to Innsbruck, then via Linz and Budweis to Prague, where he stayed for 3 years, invited to compose all sorts of pieces for the musical activities there. Wherever he went, he was implored to remain. He then turned down Dresden and in 1717 returned to Bayreuth, where he knuckled down to celebrating the 200th anniversary of the Reformation. His travels were behind him, but you can certainly hear the extrovert Italian influence in this Concerto Grosso.
Thank you. Bist du bei mir?
John Potter, accompanied by Erin Headley and Stephen Stubbs, singing a much-loved and long-misattributed song, Bist du bei mir? It may appear in Anna Magdalena Bach's songbook, but it isn't by her husband. It's by Stölzel. Before that, we heard his Concerto Grosso in D, played by the Ensemble Orchestral de Paris, directed by Jean-Pierre Vallès. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, on my virtual travels again today with composers from the 15th to the 18th centuries. Well, I've mentioned Bach, and the obvious follow-on to that, given today's theme, is his famous walk to hear Buxtehude play. You may have heard yesterday's Early Music Show detailing the journeys, mostly on foot, of that intrepid jester Thomas Coriat. Well, Bach may just have beaten him. Although Bach was not much of a traveller and never left Germany, he did explore his own country at some length. He was never a wealthy man, and it's safe to assume he was a stout walker. In Bach's time, of course, long-distance walking between towns and cities was much more commonplace than it is today. There would have been well-trodden tracks and a warm welcome at roadside lodgings along the way. Bach's first big walk was probably in March 1700, when he was almost 15. He travelled from Ohrdruf to Lüneburg, a distance of nearly 200 miles, to take up a free school place there. In Lüneburg, he would have heard the playing of the great organist Georg Böhm, and the prospect of listening to and learning from other more experienced musicians seems to have been the main motivating force behind most of his subsequent journeys. During his 3 years at Lüneburg, he is known to have walked to Hamburg, 30 miles away, more than once in order to hear and meet the organist Johann Adam Reinken. Returning from one such visit, he had a stroke of luck when he found a Danish ducat inside the mouth of a fish which had just been discarded from a window. Valuable funds for future travels. The walk that every schoolboy used to learn about, though, was the longest walk of Bach's life. His journey from Arnstadt in Thuringia to Lübeck on the Baltic coast to hear the great organist Dietrich Buxtehude. This trip was made in the winter of 1705 and totals some 260 miles, a feat all the more remarkable for the fact that the return journey, made in February 1706, would have seen Bach carrying and somehow keeping dry several manuscript copies he had made of Buxtehude's music. And what did he get for his pains, apart from sore feet and holes in his shoes? A ticking off from his employers in Arnstadt for outstaying his leave of absence. Oh, and for making curious variations in the chorale, which confused the congregation. So he obviously picked up something from Buxtehude's method. Let's hear two organ works which demonstrate the debt Bach owes to Buxtehude, beginning with Bach's dramatic setting of the chorale Jesu meine Freude, which dates from the year of his great walk to Lübeck.
Thank you.
Bach's setting of Jesu meine Freude and Buxtehude's Magnificat Noni Toni, played by Christopher Herrick. It's appropriate for our theme that ninth tone should be known as the tonus peregrinus, pilgrim or wandering tone. I mentioned brigands a few countries back. Well, in Merry England, it was more the highwaymen one had to worry about. England was massively afforested until well into the 19th century. And of course, this sceptred isle is also surrounded by water, where pirates operate. One hapless English composer managed to get himself mixed up with both kinds of baddies, keyboard virtuoso and organ builder John Bull. In 1592, one William Phelps of Tewkesbury was admitted as an extraordinary gentleman of the Chapel Royal as a thank you for showing a most rare kindness to Mr. Dr. Bull in his great distress being robbed in these parts. That was a case of highway robbery. Then in 1610, when Bull was on his way home from somewhere more exotic, Madrid, where he had been on organ-building business, he was attacked and robbed of all his money by pirates. But some troubles he brought on himself. He fled London for Brussels, never to return, in 1613, after being charged with adultery, the Archbishop of Canterbury claiming that the man hath more music than honesty, and is as famous for marring virginity as he is for fingering of organs and virginals. That's the one angle on composer travels that hadn't come up until now, the flight from the law. Let's end with music by John Bull, or Jean Bonvie, as he sometimes preferred to be known, which refers to a much nobler journey, that of the Magi following the star to the infant Jesus.
Thank you.
Consortium, directed by Edward Barbieri, with organist Gareth Price, playing Almighty God, Which by the Leading of a Star, by John Bull. He is the exception to the rule proved over these two programmes that travel broadens the repertoire. But he proves another one. Luxury travel is seldom a musician's lot.
Today's Early Music Show was presented by Catherine Bott and it was produced in Manchester by Sam Phillips. Don't forget that you can catch up with either of this weekend's travel-themed shows by visiting the Radio 3 website and following the links to Listen Again and the Early Music Show. And there's more early music later this afternoon on Radio 3 when we visit this year's Aldborough Festival for Discovering Music. It's a recording of a programme made during the festival that explores the earliest surviving setting of the Requiem Mass by the 15th century composer Johannes Ockeghem. Stephen Johnson will be joined by Ensemble Organum to do so, and it all begins at 5 o'clock here on Radio 3. Before that, we'll be revisiting York Minster, where we were on Wednesday afternoon for our live relay of choral evensong. That's at 4. And in just a moment, we'll be at the Electronica 3 Festival in the company of Jarvis Cocker for this week's Sunday concert. The BBC Concert Orchestra taking you on a journey through a world of music that isn't normally in their repertoire in a concert they gave at the South Bank Centre in London. First, though, here's Ian McMillan with news of this week's edition of The Verb. Or is he just complaining?
Tired and emotional. Under the influence. No, that doesn't describe me after a few days of hard work in the Verb office. They're both titles of albums by the great Irish chanteuse Mary Coughlan, who was one of the guests on the Verb on July the 8th. Mary is a great interpreter of song, using her life's experiences to illuminate works by artists like Billie Holiday and Kirsty MacColl. Also on the show, we've got the exciting new wave storyteller Rachel Rose Reed, the award-winning poet Daljit Nagra with new work, and the novelist Joanne Harris with a look at the life and work of Mervyn Peake. And through it all, like a watermark through a 10-euro note chucked on a bar counter in Dublin, the voice of Mary Coughlan. Come and join us in the Radio Theatre at 7.15 on the 8th of July. Tickets are free from the BBC Tickets website or by ringing 0370 901 1227.
Always a good show to go to and indeed to listen to, of course. You're listening to Radio 3. It's time now for our Sunday concert, which this week, as I say, is an edited edition of a concert given by the BBC Concert Orchestra's Electronica 3 concert, recorded at Queen Elizabeth Hall in London last month. The BBC Concert Orchestra is conducted by Charles Hazelwood and it's presented from the stage by Jarvis Cocker.